She inspires, educates, and informs. She talks the talk and walks the walk. She doesn't tell you what to think. She just wants you to. She's Mrs. Green. And this is Mrs. Green's World on the Mrs. Green's World Network. And now, Mrs. Green.
Welcome, everybody. I'm Gina Murphy-Darling, and you are indeed listening to Mrs. Green's World, an inspirational and informative place where we never tell you what to think. We just want you to. And thanks so much for joining us. And thanks to our sponsor of the show. That sponsor, I am proud to say, is Bosch Worldwide. From the very beginning, this company has totally intrigued me from my Mrs. Green first steps in my journey learning about Robert Bosch. But their history has been characterized by innovative drive and social commitment. And that history was indeed put solidly in place by their founder, Robert Bosch, over 126 years ago. And I guess what just intrigues me is it was a rock solid foundation that has continued for over 126 years. And from what I can see, has not been diluted very much at all. They are a great partner of Mrs. Green's World, and they continue to do important things for our planet in many ways, including the manufacturing of lasting and sustainable products. Their products are not made to have a shelf life of 3 years. They're made to last, and that helps with reduce, reusing, and recycling. So what a perfect segue for the topic of our show, Leading Green Innovation, Bosch. I am so pleased to welcome our guest for this next hour, Lisa Beaker. She is the District Sales Manager Southwest for Bosch in Colorado, and she is, as you will learn, an incredible innovator herself. She is, from that title, it doesn't quite tell the story of all that she's up to. So, Lisa, welcome, and thanks for being here.
Oh, thank you so much, Gina. I'm really excited to be here.
I know. It's such a great story, and I was thinking about it preparing today, and I don't think we've ever had a show exactly like this in 10 years. So that excites me. So it's like,
Welcome. Thank you.
I always like to start, I think that myself and our listeners love to know a little bit about the guest. Not just what your role is at Bosch, because it's so much more than, you know, you don't just sell appliances. And how it all came about, a little bit about your journey that got you to where you are today and the exciting projects you're involved in.
Great. I've been actually in the appliance or luxury major kitchen appliance industry for over 15 years. So I've had a good varied background, but sort of specifically with this industry. And before that was in restaurant management and also had my sommelier certification. So kind of lived in this grandeur world. But like you've already mentioned, I feel that luxury is a great gateway to green because the design and the build of the products and everything else is purposeful. So like you mentioned already, if you buy quality products, they last longer, which means that's a little bit lighter on our earth. And definitely BSH with Bosch, Thermador, and Gaggenau, that's how we live. And I believe in that myself in my own personal life, too. So it kind of goes hand in hand.
I don't think you could do all the things you're doing and things we're going to talk about if there wasn't that personal connection of consciousness about the planet and about everything being so disposable. So it was clear to me in reading the research that this is a heart space project for you as well. It's not just a job, clearly.
Absolutely. I do believe in it.
It shows. So when you're working with luxury brands, is there more to it than just, like, say, selling somebody a high-end refrigerator or stove or dishwasher? Is it different? And if so, what's different about it? And maybe it's not, because I just, like I said, in reading about you, it doesn't feel like a sales job. It feels more like relationship-building kind of job.
Absolutely. That's what how I lead my career. This is my own business. As well as working for a world-class company like Bosch. So I take it on upon myself of building the relationships, not only with my dealers that I have that I partner up on a daily and weekly basis, but also with the builders, developers, owners, designers, architects, et cetera, that are in my world here in Colorado. So, you know, I build these relationships over years, and then I'm usually the first call when something new, a new project where they want us involved in, happens. So I think that means a lot. They trust my experience and my background, and that also I'm very convicted and will battle with them, so to speak, you know, for and really believe in everything I do along with them as a partner.
And it kind of goes in tandem, because to me, when you think about how you do business with other people, I care more now about relationship than almost anything. We are in such a fast-paced world. We get prompts on our phones. You wait 20 minutes to talk to a human being, if you even can. So to me, how to remain relevant and have those relationships with people, it is all about sustainability, because you're sustaining the relationships and it leads to really good things. Would you reflect on that for a second?
Yes, I definitely believe in that, because that is how we get further in the world as we work together and co-sharing, which is a lot to do with some of these green projects too. I believe that the relationship with some of these owners, it is their baby, and helping them take it from cradle to grave, so to speak, is very green, but also keeps it sort of maintains a focus.
Right, and keeps it fresh and new. I mean, that's that they come to you to help in the development and idea design stage. It speaks volumes. And then what about, like, for this is a two-part question, your own, you spoke about, you know, walking lightly on the earth and minimizing your own carbon footprint. So from your perspective, is that a necessity, or should it be in the consciousness of all citizens of the planet right now? That's the first part. And then the second part is, how does Bosch go about marrying the luxury with the green, or do they? So your personal journey, your thoughts on, do we all need to be concerned about that lighter footprint? And you certainly know what I think. So it's like,
yes.
This is green, so I know where my vote is going to be cast.
Yes. We definitely all need to live more lightly on this earth, for sure. I do my best. I recycle everything. I reuse everything. I turn lights off. I turn energy off when I'm not in a room, or when I leave for a period of time. I admit I don't yet have an electric car. Being in sales and covering an entire state.
Yes, so far, especially the size of Colorado. It's not like New Jersey.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's right. It's a little bit of a challenge, but I am working on that for sure. Especially with what's going on in the news the past week with these hurricanes, we have to know that part of that is probably from global warming. These are some clear signs that things are changing. So it does us some good to live lightly.
Pump up our emotional IQ and learn more about it. You're right, kiddo. You're right.
Yeah.
And it's you know, I'm going to be interviewing a guest in a couple of months. Her name is Catherine Hayhoe, and she's one of the, if you Google her, she comes up like one of the top 20 climate scientists, and she won't even talk to climate deniers. She said 97% of scientists support human-caused climate change. I'm not going to talk to 3%. She doesn't get in debate. She said it gives it a status it doesn't deserve, because you don't need to be talking to the 3%. It's like, it doesn't even matter. It matters that we treat Mother Earth better. That's what it comes down to, living consciously.
Right.
And Bosch has
Absolutely.
Done that. When I say that, Lisa, about Robert Bosch, you know, I was a greenie, so to speak, myself, and had a totally different background. And someone from Bosch gave me a book, someone from Phoenix, and I can see his face and I'll think of his name, about Robert Bosch. And I read the whole book, and I'm like, you got to be kidding me. This guy was, you talk about a thought leader and an early adopter and a trailblazer. He was that deal. And
Absolutely.
Yeah, it continues on. So let's...
It does continue on.
It does, right? I mean, you get those messages. And I, of course, think Bosch should be branding their sustainability message even stronger. But no one's asked me. I'm not in charge of Bosch branding. I just can voice my opinion on the airways, but that's why I love them. That's why I recommend them to my friends. And it's you know, there are lots of other things that Bosch brands themselves for, but sustainability and green practices, to me, is going to be the cutting edge for everything. So let's talk about, I'm totally enthralled and intrigued by this project that you have been involved in. And I thought a lot about it. Like, why am I so excited? Because it's a game changer of innovation, of true sustainable communities, and it's called GEOS. And I want you to share, I have a lot of questions about it, because for our listeners, it's not just about educating ourselves and me getting continued to be educated, but it's about what can we look to for hope and possibility and change. And I can tell you, I want to live there already. So we're going to work on that contract after we get off the phone. But tell us, start with the big vision of what GEOS is.
The big vision, and GEOS is really exciting. And I'm just thrilled
really
to be
is.
Talking about it and to be part of it. Absolutely. This has sort of been the brainchild of Norbert Klebel, who is the owner and founder of GEOS. And the inventor, if you will, because the reason I'm saying that is he is building a formula. So it's already started with actual homes in the ground and an actual project, but a formula that can be replicated and brought to other cities, which is really exciting, meaning that we can change, especially our world in the U.S. here. It's about living definitely green. It is a net zero project. It is one of the largest residential projects that is net zero in the U.S. When it's finished, it's going to be about a $100 million project. And it's in an area that is, for Colorado, between Golden, Colorado, and Boulder, Colorado. So sort of in the foothills in a little bit of a forgotten corner, part of a great town called Arvada. The forgotten corner is that it's actually just a business park, or was a business park, and is now being used for this GEOS project. So it's really a great proximity to other towns, but also taking land that was sort of underutilized, but now becoming a development for like-minded homeowners that want to live at net zero.
So and, it's really and net a great zero, concept. Explain to people what net zero means.
So net zero means that we are living, they are living off the grid. And I have some statistics too that they are able to take just from the first 6 months of these homes being occupied, they were able to take 80% of their conditioning, so cooling of the homes, get about an 80% savings. So a lot of the thoughts that are used here, everything from geothermal to solar, to how the water is reclaimed and used for landscaping, is part of this entire development. And of course, there's a waiting list for folks that want to buy a house, so I suggest you get on that list soon.
Maybe I know people, you can maybe get me bumped up.
There you go.
So go, and it is, as you're talking about it, I of course am very preoccupied, as most are millions of people in the United States, about the second hurricane that will hit soon. We're doing a pre-record, so when this show comes out, we will know the damage of what happened with Irma. But it's interesting to me, because what I thought about, and tell me if you agree with this, so the use of geothermal can be extremely costly. It's one of the greatest sources of energy because it literally comes from the ground. And, you know, GEOS has been able to incorporate that. So it doesn't it really protect people who live there from what can be weeks now, it could be end up months of power outages. They'll be able to be protected. I mean, it doesn't protect you from, you know, a hurricane in every sense, but in terms of getting back up and on the grid, isn't it a big built-in protection that it is a self-contained community?
Absolutely. And that's a great way to look at it and sort of think about this for the future for other cities too. The geothermal, which is a Bosch heat pump that was used in this system or this project, I mean, as well as the Bosch appliances, that in combination with the solar metering system, just for an example that might be relatable, was able to charge a Nissan Leaf car for 4,000 miles. So it's kind of, if your listeners can think of it as sort of banking energy, and right in the case of a storm, it's sort of protected energy because it is under the ground, but storage of this energy to be able to be used or called upon later is a great, great idea.
So I had this, I want to get into more of the components, but I always jump around, and I thank God I have good notes, so I come back to what it was. But when it is what I loved. Another thing I loved about it, it's mixed use zoning. So I was thinking it's possible, because of the size of this community and the diversity, that you could literally live in there and not have to go outside of that community for a long time. If it has all of those things, why would you go anywhere except on vacation? Is that over exaggerating?
No, not at all. And that's absolutely what it's about. So the proximity, being in the foothills of Colorado, so we have beautiful vistas.
Yeah, you don't have to go on vacation. You just have to look outside.
Absolutely. Right. And there's, you know, several trailheads right nearby, but you're also near the, you know, two other points. So Golden is sort of your route up to the mountains. And then Boulder is more, a little bit more urban area, but that's what's great about it.
And Boulder's bursting at the seams, right? I mean,
it is bursting at the seams,
and affordable housing is an oxymoron. I have friends that live there, and it's really tough to even find a place, especially when you add in things like Airbnb. If you live there and you don't make a lot of money, it's a tough challenge. I just want to know how close it is to Crested Butte, which is one of my favorite places in the world. And we go there every summer to a friend's house. It's like, oh my God, do you look out the window and see stuff like that?
It's heaven. It's not as close to that, but I mean, it is, like I said, it's close to Golden or the I-70 corridor that brings you up to the mountains for sure. So it is a great location for all of those things. And as I mentioned, it being sort of an underutilized business park, but in a perfect location with the trails and all that. And everything has been thought of with this community in terms of the lifestyle, where people will hang out on their front porches versus an enclosed backyard. So a sense of community and sort of co-op kind of living.
It sounds like nirvana.
Here.
I mean, I'm not kidding. And I'm not saying that lightly. It's I think people are starving for connection. The high fences and the closed doors are things that we don't need anymore. And all of the components, and the fact that there is business, a lot, you can do business on there. We're going to be up on our first break here, which always blows me away. I think all of my listeners get tired of me saying this, but I don't. It's like, what do you mean? Where did it go? So we come back. What I'd like to talk about a little bit is, was this Geos community in particular designed specifically for the Colorado climate? I think that would be an important question to ask. And if so, I think Norbert, my new best friend here, has big dreams. And what will the adaptation of that look like? Because doing it in Colorado would not be the same as doing it in the desert Southwest. You know what I mean? And
correct.
So I want to talk a little bit more about that, go into a little bit geothermal, and then start picking out my house. But
great.
All kidding aside, I want to talk about like the size of the houses and the diversity. Is it going to be all townhomes? Is it going to be looky-likey? Because I know the answer to that, but I want you to be able to answer it for our listeners. So everybody, stay here with me. Lots of really good information to get all of us thinking. Like I say, we don't tell you what to think. We just want you to about places of the future, what it's going to look like, and what's in your future. So stay here with me more from Lisa Beaker from Bosch, Colorado, Southwest. We'll be right back.
Join us for a new on-demand podcast every week at MrsGreensWorld.com. Listen on your computer or mobile device using the iHeartRadio or SoundCloud mobile apps. We are a proud member of the iHeartRadio, Glimmerglass, and Speak Up networks. Connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram. Stay in touch with information about healthy living, sustainability, contests, and events by signing up for our e-newsletter on our website. If you have questions or comments about the show, write to us at info@MrsGreensWorld.com. We'd love to hear from you. But right now, back to Mrs. Green.
And welcome back, everybody. I am Gina Murphy Darling, and you are listening to Mrs. Green's World, where we don't tell you what to think. We just want you to. Thanks so much for listening. And this hour, there's really something here for every listener because we all live somewhere. And part of my excitement about doing this show was leading green innovation. Thank you, Bosch. That my friend Alan Thompson from Bosch told me about Lisa and all the stuff she's doing. So joining us, we made it happen. Lisa Beaker is from Bosch. She is reflective of that commitment of Bosch to a sustainable planet that Robert Bosch put in place over 126 years ago. And I believe she is an innovator herself. She is the district sales manager Southwest in Colorado and partners in really impactful, intentional, and creative ways to move the green needle forward. In ways that really benefit all of us, whether we're living there or not. So, Lisa, another warm thank you for taking the time to be here. So let's go back to that question I asked. I didn't forget about adapting the use to optimally be in sync with the Colorado climate and environment. How was that taken into consideration? It had to be.
Oh, it definitely was. So the owner, again, he is actually German, so he's a very brilliant engineer. So he sort of grew up with a mindset of you need to live more green. Resources are more challenged overseas. So he came to the United States, and he's been in Boulder for over 20 years, bringing that premise that he grew up in over here to Colorado. So this has sort of been a baby of his for years. I've known Norbert for over 10 years. And just to see him think out every detail of this project, from how the homes, the townhomes and the single family homes sit on their plots, and to maximize this sun coverage to get passive solar loads to again get us to that net zero level. In Colorado, we're lucky we have over 300 days of sunshine, which, believe it or not, is more days of sunshine than some of your more southern cities.
So not Tucson, I might add, on this 103 degree day that we're all whining about now, but yes. 300 yes. sounds good yes. to me right now instead of 360 yes. I think we have or something. So go ahead. Yes. No, but that's yes. that's huge. So you get a lot of sunshine. And what about snow?
We have a lot more sunshine than people believe. So what's great, you know, with 300 days, obviously during the winter we get sunshine as well. And it's more of that solar power that is needed, not necessarily so much the heat. The winters here can be mild. We still get winter, so relative to you in Tucson, yes. you know.
We had winter once,
crazy.
I remember that.
A few flakes of snow,
yeah,
probably.
Yeah, like, what's that?
But the good thing about snow is that it also eventually turns into water, which is a necessity here as
right.
well. So a lot
right.
of the water is captured. So it's all part of the whole you know, thought process with this entire development. So not just solar, it's reusing, reclaiming the water, using the heat from the earth, as we talked about with the geothermal LED lighting. All of these things have been considered and thought of. We use, for instance, our Bosch laundry systems, which are a condensing dryer system, so no vent in the home, which means you don't have to have any holes in your house for venting a dryer.
How does that work? You have to tell us how that works. I heard about it, but I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. So tell us about that magical invention, no venting.
No venting. So the water is drained away in your same drain that your washer is. And of course, it being Bosch, we use a lot less water anyways. The washer spins at such a high rate that we are getting most of the moisture out in the first step. So the dryer is what's always been the energy hog. It being condensation drying, we just are whisking that water away from your clothes without needing the use of a vent. So it's all of these thoughts have been, you know, gathered to finish out this project in thoughtful process.
And I would think that knowing about Colorado, I just went to a climate reality training, Al Gore's climate reality training in Denver, and there were lots of presentations about Colorado. And of course, if you watch the news, there have been mega fires. So I go back and forth between, you know, energy efficiency is really important, but water retention and wastewater management, it'll become increasingly important every day in certain regions of the country. We're not going to be worried about flooding. We're going to have to worry about how do we keep the water that, you know, pours down when it does. So that factor was already considered by Norbert. I hope it's okay. I call him Norbert. He knows. He knew when he thought of that. And the other part that I love that you might, it's just maybe a personal observation, and it matters to me now, maybe because I'm 66, a very young 66, but senior co-housing. Yeah. I mean, come on. I wanted to hug him when I saw that part. It's like we have people living longer, and co-housing means they live a quality of life. They're less dependent. So he even thought of that.
He did. He really has thought of every step of this project, and he thinks co-sharing or co-housing has been tested and worked on in a few projects here in Colorado. So I think part of that is that perhaps Colorado is maybe more ready than some other communities or states. And again, everyone that is signing up to live in a geo's home is probably of this similar mindset. And yes, the thought of being there when you're older, but having neighbors that are in your similar situation is very comforting.
And no isolation. Yet, I mean, that's what happens with older people. Isolation kills them. Yeah.
Absolutely. But also they're amongst younger families.
Yes.
So it's not a separation at all. It's co-living, co-sharing.
Right.
So it's a really brilliant mindset.
It's so sustainable in every way. And, you know, I have a dream someday, if I ever slow down, that I'll be the grandma that sits out there in the middle of the park and all the kids can play with me because I'm really fun. It's, you know, babysitting and all of those things that our cultures were really founded on. That's how it was. It's like a tribe. What about food supply? Because I know here in Tucson and in Arizona, we talk a lot about it. I mean, we're food deserts. All of our food, for all intents and purposes, is shipped from somewhere. So we have, you know, people say 3-day supply, 5-day supply, 2-day supply, depending. And we're doing a lot to try to grow more locally, especially with plants that are native to this area. What about food? Are they planning to grow a lot of their own food? It would probably not be self-sustaining, but even doing a portion of it leaves you less vulnerable to things that are out there, like food security and food scarcity.
Absolutely. So part of the mixed use part is to encourage either mini businesses or co-op businesses where they will also build their own sort of urban farms, I guess, is the thought. And there is an urban farm business, a big urban farm business out here, too. It's sort of teaching folks that do live in cities how you can make, you know, produce your own food where you barely ever have to go to the grocery store. But there will be some market opportunities here, farmers markets that they'll keep in locally. Boulder has one of the best farmers markets probably in the country, so that's also nearby. But it is a lot about keeping everything in the neighborhood. So that is thought of as well, as there will be room for shared gardens and things like community gardens for the entire community. So this is going to be 282 residential units.
And that's a lot. I mean, that's a lot.
Yeah.
It's really a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. And so it's a big amount of plot of land, but it's building a whole new community, essentially.
And he's doing it so that it can be replicated and duplicated. And there's no doubt in my mind, if there's waiting lists already, that there's going to be, you know, it'll be successful. And when we talk about shifting paradigms, which I think about a lot, I'm one of those people that is, I'm like the get off your phone Nazi, like stop it, just be with me. And with, especially with younger people, we have a rule in our house, park your phone at the dining room entrance because we're not here to be on our phones. And I get pushback because that's how kids relate. So to me, something like this will encourage kids to be outside because they can go somewhere that's safe. You know what I mean? It's like I spun off onto a lot of things when I was prepping for this show, but kids are on those devices a lot because they have working parents, they're latchkey kids, they're home. It's not all that, but a lot of it. Most kids I know, if you give them a chance to go out and play, if you get them early enough, of course they want to do that. And the culture, sadly, is shifting to where kids really want to stay home. They really want to stay home and play on their gizmo, as I call it.
Right.
So hopefully this will be able to really study some social behavior changes that will come about as a result of the pushback we so sorely need to get people to connect. It really matters. Yeah. And I don't know if I asked this clearly or well, but how did you and how did Bosch become such an active partner? And what's the extent of your involvement, other than your unbridled enthusiasm, which I love, and it's why you're here, and it's why Alan was so excited because of what you're doing. So how did that all start?
Well, I was very lucky to meet Norbert about 10 years ago. And Bosch hosted out in California a solar decathlon. So it's kind of a unique, it's where college students from across the country build and compete against each other in building this unique home of the future. And, you know, based on green practices, et cetera, whatever they've learned from their teachers. And I got to bring Norbert out to this event that was attended by, you know, some bigwigs at my company. But because we were a key sponsor, it was a neat event to reconnect with Norbert and learn more detail about his project. Now, granted, him being an engineer, some of what he said was way over my head, but it was really exciting to, I do understand more than I probably give myself credit for, but it, you know, him talking about how he thought of every bit of each of these homes, and not only the development, but the homes themselves, the ultimate design was his idea, again, to be sort of a clean, simple interior design, and of course, where I take most of my pictures are in kitchens, but beautiful cabinetry. It's from a local company, you know, it's a smaller business. So that's also part of being green, is using your local resources, correct? So he just thought of everything from not only engineering the systems to give him net zero, give the homeowners net zero, but how these neighbors will live together and how this will evolve their entire neighborhood. with the farming, the urban farming, the office spaces, so people, like you mentioned, stay in their community. We have e-bikes. Bosch also makes electric chargers, so most everybody in this neighborhood will have an electric car and probably use the e-bikes that will be available in the neighborhood as well. So just
don't you want to live there, Lisa? Don't you want to live there? I swear.
Yes,
it's
oh
my gosh, I'm thinking about it. How can we have this happen? And you know, another thing that I read, that it's not even just back in the good old days. When I stay in New York, do you know how valuable the corner market becomes for you if you live in New York?
Yeah.
Because you don't want to drive your car anywhere. A lot of people in New York don't have one. But this community is going to have corner stores that you can walk down to or get on your bike. And in Tucson, for me, it's undoable. It's, first of all, it's so stinking hot. Let's talk about that. I'm not getting on a bike when it's 103. Thank you very much. People do. My friends bike to work, and I'm like, are you insane? But there's an attractiveness to this, an attraction, whatever, that says this is where the world is heading, I hope. I had this experience with a guy named Michael Green, and I'll never forget it. He did a book. I'm not going off on a tangent. He did all the artwork for a book called The Illuminated Rumi, and I'm a big Rumi fan. I read about this philosopher. And he said that's what's going to take for the future. This was 10 years ago I heard him speak, and he said smaller communities where there's connection, where there's food supplies, where there's energy supplies. And he said, you know, ideally, there'll be only like 200 to 300 people. So this is a little bit bigger, but it's still great. And I don't want to put you on the spot, but what about, I always want to think about the affordability factor. Are these homes going to be affordable for young families and older people that are on fixed incomes? I know that's hard with all the features, but how's Norbert doing on that one?
Well, you know, he's a hard negotiator, and us wanting to keep Bosch, obviously, as a top line, I should say, brand in here, is important to us. But he also knows, obviously, from his upbringing of overseas, he was familiar with Bosch. So he sought us out as a brand, knowing its quality and how it's built. So I think the best way to think about it, and this is a great way to think about luxury, or how I feel about luxury anyways, is that it's not only purposeful design, but there's every aspect of the design and engineering is thought of. And I might have said that before, but what I mean by that is that extra steps are done up front, and so your upfront costs are a little bit higher. But if you think about this product, your home, in this case, in Geos, lasting longer because it is using less resources and less materials, pays for itself, because you're also getting zero energy costs in the long run.
Right.
Cost of water, gas, electrical consumption goes to zero. But also, he thought of a great way of tying this in and getting a special mortgage product for these developments, which is still a little bit new in our world, but it's adding these additional construction costs up front. So that's how it can be more affordable for these families that hopefully are thinking about not just maybe being there for a few years.
But long-term, yes. And think about it, not having a utility bill. And like I'm on a fixed rate that gets adjusted every year, but depending upon how hot or cold it is, it can go up $50, $60. And if you're on a fixed income, you know, I don't want any surprises with the utility bills because they used to shoot up so much in the summer. But just thinking about not having an electric bill, a water bill, being able to charge your car, which takes almost no energy. I have a hybrid, and it's shocking the little amount of energy it takes to charge a car. Reducing waste, all of that matters. So believe it or not, Lisa, we're coming up on the second break. We still have a lot. I know, it is a big wow. It's just, that means, I always say that means it's a great show when we lose track of time and I'm getting waved at that we have to segue to the break. And when we come back, I'd really like to talk, if you have anything more that you want to share about Norbert. I think you gave us a real sense of what his vision is and where he wants to go. And I'd like to weave in always a little talk about climate change. Was it a driving force for you and for him? And then what's Lisa Beeker going to be up to next? So we've got some really good fun stuff to cover. Everybody stay here with me. Lisa Beeker, Direct District Sales Manager, Southwest for Bosch in Colorado. We'll be right back.
Mrs. Green's World's mission is to preserve the planet by creating a global community of people who care about the health of the Earth. We educate, inform, and inspire. Mrs. Green's World is an independent, non-political, agenda-free voice. Your generous gift enables all of us to explore the issues facing the health of the planet in a comprehensive way. As a Mrs. Green's World sustainer, you can assist us in offering trusted information, providing listeners with the tools to make their own conclusions and choose their own steps to create a healthier planet. Visit MrsGreensWorld.com and click on Become a Member today.
Welcome back, everyone. I am Gina Murphy Darling, and this is Mrs. Green's World. Thanks so much for being a part of it. I never get tired of saying that. We have seen such an increase in our listener base, and it's all because of you, the listeners, and share the word. We have shows like this that I want to just blast from the rooftop because it gives me hope, and sometimes it's a little daunting out there when you see what's going on. So our guest for today's show is Lisa Beeker. She is District Sales Manager Southwest for Bosch in Colorado, and we're talking about leading green innovation, Bosch, and not just Bosch, but how they partner. And I feel after listening to Lisa and reading about her that she really does embody the Bosch commitment to being leaders in sustainable and energy efficient design. So Lisa, thanks once again for being with us and for making this time fly. It just blows me away, and it's very exciting. And I want to tell people, if you want to read about it, which I would encourage you, I'm sure there are people that want to know more about it, go and take the tour. It's discovergeos.com. And I'll give the shout outs for Bosch, you know, ways to follow Bosch. But this is really a part of Bosch's future as well. I'm sure they'll want to be in more of these projects, an integral part of really planet preservation. So since you know Norbert and he is the force behind it, is his vision to do many more of these around the country and then maybe the world?
Yes, absolutely. He already is in the works of doing, I'm not sure that the name will be Geos 2, but that's what I'm calling it, Geos 2, which is estimated or slated to be up in northern Colorado. So first, still starting in our state. Our state is obviously very open and willing and able to
progressive
support these kind of developments. Yeah, and they're very progressive. You're right. So, but I know some other states have expressed a lot of interest. So I feel like this is just going to grow almost every state, especially in the West. And so his vision has been thought not just for this immediate project, but for definitely for the future.
And go ahead. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
Yeah, no, that's okay. And Norbert is just, he definitely speaks the speak and is very, very passionate and very brilliant developer of this project.
This
of course,
project,
like I said, it's been his baby.
What a baby. What a baby. And, you know, I think about it with the changes that are going on in Mrs. Green's world as we evolve and progress. And it seems to me that both for Robert Bosch and for a modern day Robert Bosch, Norbert, who is really thinking about it, it isn't so much, and correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think Robert Bosch was doing it to mitigate climate change. He did things because it was the right and the good thing to do. This is the right and the good thing to do, to build homes that last. What a concept. That aren't made out of a bunch of crappy materials that are going to fall apart starting in 10 years. Does Norbert share that vision? It's comes from a place from me reading lots and lots about his vision, about doing the right thing and the good thing for citizens of the planet and the planet. It's like, you can hear me going off here. It's like, this is the good and the right thing to do, and it will impact mitigating climate change, but it's not necessarily the driving force. Does that make sense?
Oh, yes. And that's absolutely what the way he feels and thinks. He knows that maybe him alone, he cannot change climate change or have a super big impact on it other than helping the citizens, everybody in the U.S., maybe make the right choices. And part of these developments are part of the right choices. And as the formula grows, meaning after he gets so many done, I imagine costs will change as well, because it is something that he's got a formula for that can be replicated, which then, of course, gives us more successes.
Right. And scalability. Right. I mean, he'll learn and there'll be other things to do and make it more affordable. I couldn't imagine that a man like this would just want it for an elite class of, you know, the luxury appliance buyers, not the way he's setting it up with townhomes and multiple family homes and stuff for seniors. This is a man who cares a lot about citizens of the planet. What do you think? Do you have a sense for... we're talking about this a lot in Mrs. Green's world as we start our second, 10 years. So we're getting ready for the next 10. Who will be attracted to this community? Is it going to be the early adopters? It's going to be people that really care about the planet already. There are lots of them in Colorado, let's be honest. But what do you see as, is there a demographic or a psychographic for the people that are going to get on waiting lists quickly?
I think absolutely it was the early adopters that were on the lists, the waiting lists, which, mind you, is those lists started a couple years ago.
Right, right.
So it for sure was the early adopters, but as this evolves, I think it will reach sort of regular folks that just want to live in a like-minded community. If you're in this community and you see something sort of that's not right with the garbage cans or anything that has to do with the energy, net zero living in this community, you share that with your neighbor. In other words, you take care of it or you work on it together. So it's definitely every aspect of co-sharing, which, like you mentioned, because of the way our world is and keeps going, that sometimes these communities are what a lot of folks are seeking out.
And that's key.
For camaraderie.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I was walking a couple months ago in a neighborhood, it's a gated community where a friend of mine lives, and there was a water break. And in Tucson, like for me, it hurts. It physically hurts to me to see that. And it would had obviously been running for a really long time. And of course, Susan and I went to the gate and said, there's a water leak. But that, who knows how much water they lost. And in a community like this, that's not going to happen. People are going to see it and are going to care enough to say, this is a precious resource or whatever. We care about our community. We live, eat, sleep, drink, work here. Our kids are growing up here. So, it's amazing. And, one thing I didn't ask about, and I couldn't find it, will there be schools in this site or will kids have to go out? Will they have to leave the bubble to go to school?
Eventually they do plan on some schools.
There'll probably be a lot of homeschooling in places like that, too.
Yeah, in close proximity, and the Montessori concept is also always pretty prevalent.
Right.
But, this particular plot is physically maybe not able, but I think in the surrounding areas there is some plan for some development of school, an elementary school, and that sort of thing. So that has been part of the plan too for that right. Norbert's thought of.
It'll evolve.
Absolutely.
I mean, it will.
Absolutely.
Those kids aren't going to want to leave, yeah. and it'll be when there's people around, it just makes everything safer. When the moms or dads are talking at the schoolyard gate, they're seeing what's going on, and that doesn't happen yep. much anymore. That happened when I grew
no.
up. But, yeah, not a lot of bullying because
yeah.
they were on us. You know what I mean?
Right.
So
right. Yep.
in terms of today, like right now today, as we're doing this interview, the mayor of Miami is talking about Irma being a nuclear hurricane. And I know this man from reading about him, lots of respect for him because they have flooding ongoing because of climate change. Their streets flood a lot and they have
yes.
octopus running down the street and all that stuff. But do you think that my hope is, let's put it that way, that the numbers of people listening to this show, it will make more of a connection about how we live and grow communities in the future. And I think tragedies like this highlight it. Do you think it'll have an influence on people's thinking?
I hope so. And again, I feel pretty lucky to be in Colorado where there maybe
right.
is more openness to this. We have one of the most spectacular developments, most successful large developments in the country of Stapleton, which was the old airport. I am actually in working with another group that is hoping to do, it won't be quite net zero, but it's a huge 4,000 home. It's essentially building a new city.
You're kidding.
Sort of northeast of Denver, but they are thinking of sort of a geos on steroids, so to speak, where a lot of the co-sharing, the urban farming, solar, all of these great green practices will be brought just to another level.
4,000, so did you say 4,000?
4,000 homes.
Love
yes.
it.
And yeah, so I like Geos is, he's definitely set the path, and his developments are very unique and exceeding all numbers and every performance modeling expectation that he even set, which the bar was pretty high.
Yeah, no kidding.
But there is more coming, I feel like. And when tragedies like the hurricane, my parents are in Florida, as a matter of fact, so I am literally glued to the
yes,
TV. And
I bet you are.
Been
oh, my gosh.
yes. Screaming at them that, why aren't you in Colorado right now? But they're in the middle of the state, so I'm hoping. But I think they also live in a community. It's an active adult community, so if it wasn't for all of their neighbors and friends, I'd be probably
You'd be on a plane
right now trying to
get in the car to drive them out of there. It's like,
yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So I think these communities are important, and I feel like it will change our nation, and if people keep thinking they're on an island, it's not true. There are lots of communities, a lot of folks that think the same way you do. And being part of a community like this is not only good for our earth, but it's good for their psyche.
Yeah, and our quality
sure.
of life. I mean, I just,
yeah.
I the circle of life. So I may have asked this, but I want to go like drill down a little bit deeper. Clearly,
okay.
you don't just sell appliances. You, Lisa Beaker, you are involved in exciting projects that are on the cutting edge of innovation. You are passionate about them. What's the draw for you? What makes you so happy to do that? And I say that, I mean it. Like, you're happy and proud to share this story and this vision,
yeah.
incorporating Bosch, but there's something more there. What's the draw?
I believe in it. I definitely believe in it. I feel that everybody should live this way, live as lightly as we can. We all need to do our part. We probably all need to do more, as I mentioned before. I believe in making right choices. And also, when it comes to the little things like buying a quality product, it means that product has been built with more consideration and not just stamped out, which also means it will last longer, which therefore you will not have as much waste. So I believe in all of those things. It's not about having a product that shows off. It's about having the right product, right things, the right lifestyle.
It's about doing the good thing. It is. We're saying that a lot. It's like doing not just the right thing, but the good thing. And that's a little bit different. And you're doing both. What about your other clients or other, you know, consumers that you work with, customers? Where would you give, are they interested in not just the durability and the all of the things that go with Bosch's reputation, it's going to last. Do they care about green issues? Do they care about sustainability? Do you get into that? What's their emotional IQ? I mean, environmental IQ. We don't want to go into their emotional IQ. But, you know, environmental.
That'd be a whole nother show.
We can do that next part B.
I feel like that customers, most of the customers or business partners I have today are conscientious of it. And I feel like I'm a little bit like a robot because I do speak of this a lot with all of our brands, Bosch, Thermador, Gaggenau. It's purposeful design. There is a reason for it. It's not just for those that want just luxury products. There is meaning behind the way these products are built. And I feel like the mindset is changing. That's why also having local partners and building these relationships with local developers, owners, specifiers, architects, et cetera, is important to me. We're all in this together. The whole world is, but it's keeping it to our little world here in Colorado. It's important that we support each other and sort of drive to the same finish line, which is saving our earth, letting it be here longer. We all have to be part of that, but there's a reason for it, right? And for their kids and their kids' kids to have a good earth to live on for the future.
And so eloquently put, and I mean that sincerely, and what I was thinking about as you were responding, it is a small step. To me, it's a big small step, especially when you talk about, you know, 300 homes, and then you talk about 4,000 homes. But what's great about our world is that we live in a microscope. Everything is now, you can know what's going on in Kenya in real time,
right?
And you can know what's going on. So to me, what gave me, I don't want to whine. Sometimes I want to whine, but not for this. Our shows are so heavy sometimes that, you know, my husband and I, who's a partner in the business, we put our heads down in the studio and say, what is the hope? Because there are a lot of daunting statistics out there that with the acceleration and these storms and, you know, 500 children today will die in Africa from starvation because of droughts. Mm. So this is about hope, possibility, change, and doing the good and the right thing. So it's like, wow, when I started researching this, I'm like, yes, a happy topic to share with all of our listeners, and take note and look for those kinds of communities growing and plan on them for our futures.
Yes, absolutely.
So we have, there's, you know, the sponsor of this show is Bosch, thanks to Alan, and Arizona Wholesale Appliance. They make my work and support our team's work possible through their sponsorship, and they are leaders in energy efficiency and design. So there, what I'm going to do a shout out for is, you know, go to their website, bosch.com. If you want to spend some time reading about something great, read about their story and how they started. And of course, they have a Facebook page called Bosch Global. There's a Facebook page called Bosch Appliances. And of course, they're on Twitter, Bosch Global and Bosch Appliances, and on Instagram, it's Bosch Home Us. So there's I love Instagram, so people can see that. And I just thank you for taking the time to be with us, sharing it, having a happy subject, being passionate about it, and giving us hope. And I'm barely kidding about putting that in my thought process for that. My kids live, two of my kids live in Taos, New Mexico, and they have family. My one daughter has family in Denver, and it's not far. And Denver now is so expensive and such a hot, hip, happening place to be. These are things that we can look to for the future, because I want to live near them. I don't want to live with them, but I want to live near them in a community where I can walk down and, you know, see my grandkids or help them out or whatever. So anyway, I rambled. Lisa Beaker, thank you so much. September 21st, Tim Bentley from TMC, Champions of Health and Wellness. They're rock stars. And on September 26th, Michael Tompkins and Richard Blanco start something meaningful. And indeed they are. Lisa, again, thanks for being with us and for making a difference for all of us.
Thank you very much, Gina.
Make it a great green day, everybody.
Thank you.